I thank the Lord today for another opportunity to come and fellowship with you around God's precious word and begin a new week of sermon and song. I do hope you'll tell somebody else about the ministry of sermon and song, and I would deeply appreciate it if you would just take a moment or two and write us a card or a letter or a note and let us know that you listen. It would encourage our hearts so much to know that you listen to the program Sermon and Song. Now today we're going to continue in 1 Peter chapter 3, and I want you to look at verse 9. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. Now while you're getting your Bible, if it's possible for you to do so, and getting ready to follow along word by word, for that's what we're doing. We're preaching the book of 1 Peter, word by word, verse by verse, as we find it here in God's precious word. Let me call your attention, while you're getting your Bible, back to verse 7, which ends the instructions that the Apostle Paul gives to the wives and to the husbands in the church. Now, these instructions are to those who are born again, those who are saved. We spend a great deal of time dealing with these verses, coming down through verse 7. And the final phrase there is very, very important, that your prayers be not hindered. Now, if you do not want your prayers hindered, you do not want to pray and pray and pray and pray on and on and on, and of course we should until we get an answer. If you don't want an answer, then do not obey verses 1 through 7. But if you obey verses 1 through 7, you can expect God to answer your prayers. You see, we have the promise in the Bible that God will hear us when we pray. And we have the promise in the Bible, ask what you will, and it shall be done. Now, really, that's true. Ask what you will. But then many other verses say that if you're living for God, you're in fellowship with Him, then your will is going to be in line with the will of God. Therefore, you can get an answer to your prayers. Now, verse 8 begins a new section, at least a new thought, not a new section, but a new thought. The apostle turns here from the wives and the husbands, and he turns to the congregation in general, that is, to the born-again ones in general. And he says, finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous. Now these are traits that ought to be automatic in the life of the Christian. You see, we have a warped idea these days as to what a Christian is. At least I know the places I go that this is true, and I don't know about all the world, of course, but I know the places that I go, the churches that I'm in, and the congregations and the people that I deal with, I find many people have a warped idea as to what a real Christian is. They think if a person goes to church, reads their Bible, prays, goes on visitation, attends Sunday school regularly, and they're not ecumenical and they're straightforward in their stand for Christ, that they're automatically a Christian. But you see, all of these other things that I have just mentioned fall in line with the Christian being of one mind, and I dealt with that at length last week, of one mind. That does not mean that you have to agree with every little thing that the other person does, but you should be of one mind in the church. In other words, the body of Christ that meets on a local level, the representative body of Christ that meets on a local level, ought to do things as the majority of the people feel the impression of the Lord to do them, as long as they are biblical, as long as they're led by a good godly pastor and by a good board of men who are interested in the furtherance of the church. Now, be of one mind and have compassion. care about all of the people in the church. And then he says, love as brethren. Now, you don't have any choice in that. There's no choice there. You don't love just who you want to love and not love someone else. You, as a born-again child of God, are commanded to love the brethren. You say, well, preacher, I just can't love so-and-so. I just can't do it. I had a lady not long ago to tell me, preacher, I just have a hard time. I cannot seem to love my enemies and love those who have mistreated me. Well, you don't have any choice in the matter. If you're a Christian, a born-again child of God, you're to love the brethren. You're to love those who love Christ. Now, that does not mean that you have to spend all of your time with them. That does not mean that you cannot have your own friends that you do love, but it does mean that you must not carry bitterness and hatefulness in your heart toward them. Be pitiful and be courteous. Pitiful is compassionate along with them, putting your place in their place. And then be courteous. Verse 9 says, not rendering evil for evil. The last thing in the world a Christian ought to do. I care not what the circumstances are. The last thing that a Christian ought to do is to try to get even with someone. Try to get back on someone that has mistreated them. Railing for railing, but contrariwise, blessing. In other words, if you have someone that has done you evil, then you do them good. You say, preacher, that's just not in line with my human nature. I agree with that. I certainly agree with that 1,000%. Your human nature wants to fight back. Your personality wants to fight back. The old man that lives within you, the old sinful nature, wants to fight back and render evil for evil. But the Bible says that we are to render blessing for evil. If you want to get over hating someone or being bitter toward someone, see if you can't find something good to do for them. See if you can't find something that will help them, encourage them in some way. And then he says, and I didn't read this last week, so I will at least get it read today, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that you should inherit a blessing. In other words, this is your calling. This is the position you're supposed to be in. And you want a blessing from God? You want God to bless your home, your life, your family? You want God to bless you? Then you do what he says here in verse 9. Be with us tomorrow. We'll move right on to verse 10.